morning, and welcome to a special telephone town hall for senior citizens throughout Oakland County with County Executive Dave Coulter and experts from our Public Health Department. My name is Hillary, and I work for Mr. Coulter. Let me tell you about the call so we can get started. Because of the number of people involved in the call, it is set up as listen only. You can hear us, but we can't hear you. During the question and answer period, I will be able to press a button on my computer so the person asking the question can be heard by the rest of us when they ask their question. If you would like to ask a question, press 9. You'll be transferred to another member of our staff who will take down your name and subject of your question. After you provide that information, you'll return to the main call. If you would like to ask a question, please press 9. When I call your name, you'll be able to ask your question directly. If you'd like to ask a question, press 9. Thanks again for joining a special telephone town hall for senior citizens in Oakland County with County Executive Dave Coulter and Kathy Forsley, the Director of our Health Department. Now I'm going to turn the call over to Oakland County Executive Dave Coulter.
Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I really appreciate that you're taking the time to join us this morning. As the positive cases in our county increases, I know your concern increases as well. I wanted to hold this second town hall meeting for senior citizens throughout our county to provide you with the latest information and answer any questions you might have. As Hillary said, if you want to ask a question, press 9 on your dial pad. I want to make sure you have the facts about COVID-19 so you can stay safe and healthy. I'm also going to tell you a little bit about the steps that we're taking as a county in lockstep with our public health department to slow the spread of the virus in our county. It's vital that we strictly follow the governor's stay-at-home order. If you need to leave your home to go to the grocery store or the pharmacy, please stay 6 feet away from other members of the public and follow guidelines for hand washing and not touching your face when you come home. So first, I want to ask Kathy Forsley, who is our director of the health department, to provide us the latest information on cases in Oakland County.
Thank you. So the countywide data for cases at this moment in time is 1,558 confirmed cases of the COVID virus, and we have at the moment unfortunately 63 fatalities.
That's a sobering number. We had 29 fatalities on Sunday. We are in the upward part of this curve. You've heard a lot about the curve of positive cases, and we know that we're still on the upward trend. So this week will be really important that we all follow the governor's orders to the letter and only do essential things away from home. These aren't just numbers. These are our neighbors. These are our family members. Any one of us is at risk of getting COVID-19. Kathy, can you help us understand the demographics behind these numbers?
Yeah, so it's important to realize that this is a virus that impacts every generation of our citizens. So for cases, we have cases where it ranges from an infant at 14 days old to 97 years old. And for fatalities, that ranges from 36 years of age to 97 years of age.
Men and women get this equally, right?
Yes. There is some data that says that potentially men may be more susceptible or may be more susceptible to more severe disease, but you know, this is an evolving virus. It's very difficult to say that. We may think that today, but it could change tomorrow.
Good point, Kathy. All right. So now let's get to some questions from you. If you're on the call, thank you. Again, this is Dave Coulter, the Oakland County Executive. We're hosting this special call for Oakland County senior citizens to explain the facts around coronavirus. And, of course, the importance of staying home. So, Hillary, do we have any calls?
Yes. We'll take a question from Betty in Farmington Hills.
Hi, Betty.
Hi there. I wanted to know, how safe is it to go through a drive-thru because you're not, for food, because you're not that many feet away from the person?
So, but for a drive-thru, actually we think that's a better idea. If you have a choice between a drive-thru or going inside, drive-thru could be a better option for you depending on the setup. But you're not that close, but I'm seeing drive-thrus doing some creative things of putting things on trays so they can reach their arms out farther. But you are a pretty good distance away and you are in your car, so I would think that your risk would be fairly minimal.
Thank you. Hillary, any other questions?
We'll take a question from Claudia in Waterford.
Hi, Claudia.
Hi, Dave. My question is pretty generic, and I'm getting answers, different answers from people, and it has to do with gloves and wipes. Like if you're using some wipes and you're holding the wipes with gloves, can those gloves be reused because they've got a wipe on them, or if you wash them? And I don't know where to get that kind of information.
So disposable gloves are meant to be disposable after every use. You should never reuse a disposable glove. You can contaminate them by putting them on or taking them off. Also, you can destroy the integrity of the glove in the process as well, so that it's not as good a barrier. So really, disposable gloves are meant to be disposable, one-time use only.
Thank you, Kathy. Other questions?
I'll take a question from Charles in Novi.
Hi there.
Hello.
I live in Novi, and I've been retired for 30 years. My wife and I are both in our 90s and 85, and we haven't filed taxes for a couple of years now because we just kept getting all back all the time. What I'm curious about is, are we going to get a stimulus when it comes out?
Yes, my understanding is that every American, but you haven't been filing taxes. That's going to be the sticking point. Everyone who has filed taxes last year are going to automatically receive this.
Right.
If you haven't filed taxes.
Why don't you call our hotline at 248-858-1000, and we'll work with one of our congressional partners to get you an answer for that. Or you can leave a message at the end of this this phone call, and we'll get back in touch with you with guidance from our federal legislators.
Good.
We can take a question from Carmen in Commerce Township. Carmen in Commerce Township.
Hi, am I on the phone?
You are. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yes, are you with you?
Okay, thank you all for what you do. If I have an infection, say in my nose or my stomach or my bowel, and I need a COVID-19 test, will I get a false positive or an accurate result?
We would expect you to get an accurate result. You need to speak with your physician about getting that test done, and it really doesn't play any part of what else is going on in your body because it's a swab that's taken from you where the COVID infection would be occurring. So we expect you to get a correct result.
Good.
Thank you. We'll take a question from Mrs. Bryce in Bloomfield Hills. Mrs. Bryce, are you with us?
Yes. Hi. How often should you wear a protective mask if you have to go out?
So the answer to that question is masks are so scarce that they're being reserved for frontline healthcare workers, emergency responders that are transporting coronavirus patients. We need to keep them safe and protected so that we have personnel on the job every day working with patients that really need their help. So really, a mask is not something that all of us citizens should be utilizing as we go to do the essential things we need to do in the community. Social distancing will be your tool. Stay away from close contact with others.
Thank you. By the way, I wanted to make you all aware that on our website, we now have a new map. And this map shows where the positive cases are throughout our county by zip code. So you can now go to your zip code and find out how many positive cases are in your zip code. Let me just say a little about that map. We believe that the COVID-19 virus is in every community in Oakland County, and we should all act like it's everywhere. We don't know exactly why some communities have a higher number right now than others. It might just be that more people have been tested. It might mean that more people have access to health insurance. And it might mean that something's going on in the community. But if you look at that map, I just want you to understand, we want to get the data out to you and be transparent, but I don't want you to panic if you're in a community that's a little higher, or rest easy if you're not. Every community has coronavirus in it right now, and we all have to do our best to stay protected. So you might have heard about that map, and I just wanted to make that point. Hillary, do we have other questions?
Yes, and if you're interested in asking a question, please press 9 on your touch on your dial pad to ask a question. I'll take a question from Brenda in Walled Lake. Oh, hold on one second.
Hi.
Hi, Brenda.
Thank you for doing this. My husband and I both have underlying conditions, and we both, unfortunately, have kidney stones. So my fear is that the kidney stone might move and we have to go to the emergency room, and our understanding is that all the local emergency rooms are overwhelmed already.
That's a very good point. Emergency rooms are struggling right now, but if you have a medical emergency, you still need to go there. My advice to you, though, is if you need that kind of help, to call ahead. And they may have some specific advice for you, but they're really doing a very good job of isolating people that they suspect have coronavirus from others that are coming into the emergency room that need help. But I think calling ahead at the time you might need that service, it would be something worthwhile.
We'll take a question from Ms. Spaulding in Pontiac. Mrs. Spaulding, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Go ahead and ask your question, ma'am.
Oh, I asked it already. I said if you don't have it, and there is
some... You're in the whole group, so you can ask it again.
Okay. If you do not have a primary physician or a doctor, where would you go to get a script to be able to take a COVID-19 test?
So my advice to you would be to call the Health Division's Nurse on Call, and that number is 1-800-848-5533. We have nurses on staff to answer questions like that Monday through Friday from 8 in the morning till 8 at night, and on the weekends from 9 in the morning till 5 in the late afternoon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take a question from Sharon in Berkeley.
Yes.
Sharon, this is... Hi.
My question is, we are all that have any intent, any intelligence knows from what's being done for hospital additions to our already substantial hospitals that we have in this area, that this is going to go on for a long period of time. It's not going to be over in a month or so. What my question is, I have asthma and I'm 80 years old My husband has COPD and he's 86 years old. We have chest colds, but it's nothing that we know. We take our temperature from time to day and this and that and the other thing. But what I'm saying, if we were to call our doctor and had the test done to find out if it has anything to do with this, and this goes on and it's negative, and we come back and we do feel like maybe 2 months from now, maybe longer, if we could have the test again.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely call your doctor if you're experiencing chest cold symptoms or cold symptoms. Talk it over with your doctor. Your doctor will decide if it's appropriate for you to have a test. And if it is negative, as you are indicating, and, you know, down the road you think, oh, you know, I've got something new, absolutely call your doctor back. Tests will become more and more available to us, we're pretty sure. And so hopefully it won't be so difficult to get testing down the road. But, yeah, you can continue to have tests as many times as you think necessary with new viruses that are happening to you. That's absolutely an opportunity that you have.
Thank you.
We'll take a question from Mr. Jaha, or it's the last name is J-A-H-A, in Oak Park.
Yes, you're correct. The lady previously just asked the same question I had. It was in regards to what are the procedures if you feel you have the virus, or do you go to the hospital, or do you call your doctor? It's pretty much been answered. But so I have a second question. What do you do when you go to you see kids drinking out the same container and playing football up at the high school park, and you know when we know that that's not the proper procedures, kids are still gathering at parks drinking out the same container.
Yes, that's definitely a concern we have. Social distancing includes items that we share, even if we're not close to one another. If we're eating off the same plate, drinking from the same cup or water bottle, those are all very good points you make, and we should do everything we can to discourage those behaviors. Kids probably think they're immune to this, but they absolutely are not, so we're trying to really get this messaging out to parents, to kids, to anyone that we can think of to try to spread the word about that, because those are all important stuff. And all a big part of social distancing.
If you have a specific concern about something you see in your community, you please call our hotline at 248-858-1000, and we will get that information to the Sheriff's Department. You can also call your own local community and express your concern so that they can go out and try to break up those types of gatherings.
Correct.
Take a question from Corinne in Lathrop Village.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. My question is, when you go to the grocery store and you get change return, is it safe to put that change back in your pocket? What should you do?
Good question. Money is a concern. Money handling is a concern. It's one of those things where you need to make sure that you've used hand sanitizer right after you've handled money. I think we should always assume, no matter if it's coronavirus or something else, that we could pick something up from money. So we should carry hand sanitizer around when we can. Usually most grocery stores have that available to you at the checkout, so utilize that. And then when you get home, I would wash your hands. There's nothing as good as hand washing for a 20-second scrub with soap and warm water.
Take a question from Mr. or Mrs. Hightower in Southfield.
Yes. Wondering about blowing noses and bleeding. Is that a symptom of the virus?
Is a nosebleed a symptom, Kathy?
So a nosebleed is a symptom. Well, it could be a symptom of a lot of things, so it's something you definitely need to talk about with your doctor. The infection, the coronavirus infection, does take place in your nasal cavities, and there is a lot of nose blowing that goes on, and of course, if you do a lot of nose blowing in dry air, you're going to have a nosebleed, but it's definitely something that you need to talk to about with your doctor.
Take a question from Claire in Troy. Claire,
hi,
are you there?
Right
there? Go ahead.
Yes, hello?
Go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Claire. Oh, okay, hi. I'm concerned with the grocery bags in the store. You have to go shopping if you're going to eat. And here's the bags. Now, do you wipe them down before you bring them in the house? Or do you just hope that they're not infected?
So it's one of those things where anything we touch in the store, the grocery bags, anything that we take home with us, I wouldn't be overly concerned about them. You're going to take the products out. If it's cans, you could wipe them down if you wanted to. But generally speaking, the virus doesn't live on surfaces for more than 3 days. And if you're handling it, you should just wash your hands after you're done handling it, and you'll be fine. Always wash your produce, your vegetables and fruit before you eat it, and there should be no problems. I have heard many people that are actually leaving their non-perishables out for 3 days before they put it away. I don't know if you need to go to those lengths, because as long as you're washing your hands after you're handling them, you'll be fine.
Okay. Kathy, let me ask you this. What should we say to family members who want to come visit? I know we all want to see the grandkids and our children, and you know, if we keep a safe distance, is that okay?
No. Now is not the time to visit with grandchildren. I'm not visiting with my mother. I'm not visiting with my grandchildren. I miss them dearly. But to protect all of us, it's important that we all keep our distance and stay away. Do not travel from one another's homes. Find other ways to communicate with each other, and perhaps use things like Skype, or, you know, maybe your kids can help you figure out how to navigate that. But there's other ways we can see each other and talk to each other, but right now is not the time to be with each other. This is the time to give virtual hugs rather than in person.
Take a question from Sharon in Oxford.
Hi, I have two questions to ask. I'm 76 years old. I have COPD, and I'm a diabetic, and I just had a blood transfusion 2 months ago. My question is I feel fine, but I've been very short of breath lately, and I am bringing up more mucus. Is this normal? And my other question, go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That is definitely something you need to talk to your physician about. The classic signs for COVID-19 are fever, shortness of breath, and cough, a dry cough. But that doesn't mean that if you have to have all three necessarily. So especially when we have underlying health conditions, it's really important to stay in contact with your physician's office, let them know what's going on, and they will help you understand what steps you might need to take or what you might need to watch for. So it's a very good question. Just stay communicating with your physician.
Okay, and then my other question is I probably should have to call the hotline on this, but I know that there is a company working that should not be working. How do I go about to report that?
Yeah, call the hotline, which, again, the number is 248-858-1000. We want to track who those companies are. Might even send a sheriff's deputy out there to double-check what they're doing. We take that very seriously. You will be anonymous, so don't worry. But, yes, we'd appreciate if anybody knows of activity that they don't think should be going on, call that hotline number, and we'll be happy to take that information.
Take a question from Michael in White Lake.
Yes. Good morning. This is more of a generic question. If I need to travel to Denver via air flight tomorrow, what suggestions would you have for me?
Don't do it. I mean, planes are a particularly troublesome place to be because the air gets recirculated. The virus can be spread very easily. Michigan has not instituted a travel ban, but several states have, and for good reason. So we don't have an order not to do it, but I would tell you that our medical director, and I'm guessing Kathy sitting across the table from me, would say our strong advice to you is not to do that right now. Kathy, would you agree?
Yes, and this is for not only your protection, but the protection of the folks you're going to see in Denver. You never know what you might be taking with you, and when you come back, what you might be bringing back. So travel is really something that we're highly discouraging right now, and people that do travel and find themselves in another city and then perhaps come down with COVID-19 are then at the mercy of a health system they don't know. They don't have doctors there and that know you, and you don't know them, and you're also placing an extra burden on their healthcare system. So we highly discourage it, I'm really sorry to say.
If he's mandated to travel for work, what would be your best advice for him at that point, given that we're not
so there? I would say to communicate with your employer the reasons why travel at this time is really risky for everyone involved, and if there are other ways that we could delay that and communicate over the phone or do something remotely. And I don't know how to advise you if you have to travel. Of course, it's important to keep your job, but I would take precautions on the plane to make sure you do everything you can to social distance from everyone if it's an absolute you have no choice situation.
We'll take a question from Bonnie in Rochester Hills.
Thank you. Hi, this is Bonnie's husband, Rick, in Rochester Hills.
Hi, Rick.
I just have a question. I know that we're all supposed to follow these rules, and a lot of us are doing our part to keep the social distance and all that. So we do have to go out and get groceries. We have to go out and get gas. We have to, we pick up food from restaurants. And I guess I'm wondering, does anybody out there provide kind of enforced guidelines for these vendors to do their part to protect us? I mean, should they be wearing gloves? Should they be wearing masks? I mean, they're in there working. They could be, you know, breathing on food and putting particles on there that would pass this out. And nobody ever talks about, you know, what we're doing, what we're enforcing for those people to do their part.
So, Rick, that's a great question. And in Oakland County, we actually did issue a health order last week on how to operate a business that has been deemed essential by the governor. The governor hasn't done this yet, and not all counties have. But in Oakland County, we have communicated with the essential businesses and ordered them to take certain precautions. Number one, they have to do a health screening of their employees every time the employee comes to work. We want to know the health condition of their employees. We've also asked them and given guidance on social distancing and other internal operations and procedures that they can do, that they must do, frankly, in order to keep their employees safe, in order to keep their customers safe. So even in these times with essential businesses, and you pointed out some great examples of them, we have required them to take extra precautions. The other thing I would say about that is that when essential businesses reopen in a few weeks or a month or whenever that may be, I think you can expect to see that some of those precautions are still going to be in place. So we won't just go back to life as we knew it, business as usual. There will probably still be public health practices enforced in those businesses to make sure that we continue to keep the virus at bay.
Dave, there was another part of his question that might have been asked by his wife, and it had to do with scams and, you know, people being aware of different calls and things that they were getting. He did indicate that they had received a call from their city yesterday in Rochester Hills, and I only wanted to add for their information that I did speak to the mayor of Rochester Hills yesterday, and he did indicate that they were reaching out to seniors in Rochester Hills, so that may have been what it was, but again, we would definitely encourage everyone to be very cautious about people trying to take advantage during this time period. But I do know from the mayor that they were making some calls to seniors in Rochester Hills.
But that's a great point, because I personally got a text message that made it sound like it was from the city of Royal Oak, which is not where I live, asking me to hit a link in the text message, and I just deleted it. But if you feel like there's somebody doing any kind of scam, price gouging, or anything unfair, that's the responsibility of our Attorney General, Dana Nessel, and I would highly encourage you, if you see any activity like that, or if you're questioning something like that, you certainly can call your city if it's coming from, you know, pretending to come from there, or you think it's coming from there. But any sort of scam, price gouging, or the like, you should also contact our Attorney General in Lansing.
Okay, we're going to take a question from Holly in Oak Park.
Yes. I'm a resident of Oak Park, as I stated. Oak Park has a particularly high percentage of cases and the deaths according to the map on the website. Is there any reason that they're thinking that Oak Park has so many cases? Is there any one element that they're finding the people that are being tested or going to the hospital have in common that would make this a hotbed for the disease?
So that's a great question, and I touched on this earlier, but the truth is we don't really know. It may be that more people in Oak Park have gotten tested. Maybe it's the access to, you know, Providence Hospital. Maybe it's access to health care. Maybe there's something going on in the community that we're not aware of. The trouble is we just don't know. We know that it's in every community in Oakland County, and probably in some communities there just haven't been as many tests. So we want you to have that information, but you shouldn't panic if you're in an area that has a higher number. We don't know exactly what that number means yet. But what you should be doing is asking yourself the question, and the community should be asking the question, are we doing everything that we can to make sure that we're isolating, staying at home, practicing social distancing, and all of the things that we can? My guess is that as more tests come back, other communities will see similar numbers ebb and flow, and that number will change day to day. But I can't tell you today there's not a reason for it. We just don't know. We want you to be aware of it so you continue to take all the precautions you can.
And another fact that the health officer has communicated to folks is that the results are reported to us by residents. So it's not an indication of where that individual may have been exposed. So that just emphasizes how widespread it is in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Take a question from Andrew in Royal Oak. Andrew, are you there? His question was, and I'm not sure why he can't hear us, but his question was, could he go out for a walk if he stays away from people?
Yes, it's still something that we can all do, go out and walk in our neighborhoods. Just be very sure that you are social distancing, and I'm seeing it every day, people walking in my neighborhood. Someone's coming towards me on the sidewalk. One of us will walk to the other side to make sure that we're away from each other. People are being pretty cooperative about that as far as I can tell, but it is important to get out and get some fresh air and exercise. It's really hard to stay in your house, as we all know, day after day, so go ahead and enjoy that as something that you can do to take care of yourself.
Okay, we have a question from Betty in Farmington Hills.
Yes. My question is, I have a friend who has the virus. How long should I avoid contact with him?
So the person's not living with you. It's just someone in a different house.
Well,
is that correct?
He's in a different house. He's in the hospital currently with the virus.
Right. So definitely you should not be seeing this person while we're all, you know, social distancing and self-isolating in our homes. So that's going to go on for a bit of time. So you'll have to see when that's all over if he's well enough for you to be with. But he will get a clearance from his doctor when he's well enough to be around other people.
Kathy, we're getting a lot of questions regarding masks. So there's probably three or four of the same question regarding masks. So I'm going to go to Ms. Young in Oak Park, who has a question both about masks and unemployment insurance.
Hello?
Mr. Young, go ahead.
I was asking about the part-time workers. I work part-time 16 hours a week, and I was wondering, do I qualify for unemployment? And the cloth mask. I have a cloth mask that I use when I go out to the store or to the gas stations. And I was wondering, how long can I use that particular mask? I only have the one. Do I wash it out, or is there a possible way of cleaning it? I don't know.
There's a lot of different types of masks on the market that are intended for this domestic use, and honestly, I don't know anything about them. Some of them have filters in them, some of them don't. The CDC recommends that you, if you feel you absolutely need a mask, that, you know, to even to put a bandana over your face would be okay. But to be honest with you, that's not really protecting you from someone that's sick. And so you can't rely on that. You still need the social distance. What that does protect a little bit is it's like a surgical mask. The reason for wearing those in a hospital setting is not to protect the wearer. It's to protect the person you're near from droplets, from when you talk or sneeze or cough. So that's also the reason for a six-foot distance for social distancing, is to protect from the very same thing. So to be honest with you, a lot of those measures make us feel better, but they maybe aren't doing what we think they're intended to do.
On the unemployment insurance question, I would suggest that you call our Oak Park, Oakland County, Michigan Works Office. The phone number is 248-691-8437, 8437, and they can give you information regarding part-time workers. It might depend on the quarters of work that you have, but everybody should know that has family members that unemployment insurance has been at the state and federal level significantly expanded. So folks that had been a 1099 contractor are now eligible. The weekly benefit has been increased. The length of time has been increased. So going to the michigan.gov/UIA website is one way, or contacting our hotline is another way. But if you know anyone that's been laid off during this crisis, please make sure that they get registered for unemployment insurance. Okay, we'll go to a question from Wilma in Royal Oak.
Hello.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi,
yes,
Wilma.
Hi. I was wanting to know, I'm staying in my house. I only go out if I have to. And what about the people that live in my house with me? Do I have to stay 6 feet away from them?
Well, anyone that's coming and going from your house has the potential for bringing something into the house unknowingly, and so it's always good to social distance from the people in your house, too. I know that it's a hard thing to do, but if we're all staying in the house and doing everything we can to social distance when we absolutely have to go out of the house, your risk is minimal around the people in your home as long as they're healthy.
A question from Joyce in Ferndale. Joyce in Ferndale?
Hello.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi. My question is, well, I have a couple. I've quarantined myself. I've been in my house for like 3 weeks now. I live alone. And I keep disinfecting and cleaning inside my house. The only time I open the door is to go out with gloves on in the mailbox. And I also want to know to take trash out. I keep gloves on, but I'd like to know if I can spend some time out in my backyard in the air. And the cleaning thing is I'm cleaning every day and nobody's coming or going. Groceries get delivered to me from my grandkids. They bring them, they clean them, they put them on the porch, and that's where I bring them in the house. Is there anything more I can do?
So, no, you're doing a really great job. I have a couple of comments to make. The first one about going out in your backyard, I would encourage you to do that. It's good for you to get some fresh air and when it's available, sunshine. But go out and enjoy your backyard. That's important to both your physical health and your mental well-being to be outdoors. You need to focus on taking care of you. And so the other thing I would suggest to you that if you're spending your days cleaning, I worry about there's potential for over-cleaning if you're using chemicals and things like that, and there's really no risk coming into your house. So I don't want you to feel like you have to get up in the morning and clean all day till you go to bed, because really that's not necessary. You can lighten up on that and throw open a window once in a while if you can to increase the ventilation when you're cleaning. That's important too. So you're doing a good thing for the community by staying indoors, and now it's time to focus on taking good care of you, too.
Thank you. We'll take a question from Randy in Hazel Park. Randy, are you there?
Sure.
Yes, go ahead.
I am. Yes, I was just curious about available beds in case this pandemic gets a little bit more demanding on our bed space. How does Oakland County stand with bed space?
Well, I can tell you, Randy, we're very concerned about that as well. Our hospitals are nearing capacity now, which is why it's so important that we bring down the rate of infection at this crucial time. You may have read in the paper that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is going to convert the TCF Center, used to be Cobo Hall, into a hospital. That's going to help. I don't think that will be enough. We're working with the governor's office and the National Guard and others to bring a similar site to Oakland County, or at least another one in the region that Oakland County residents can use. It's a very big concern of ours. The other thing that's happening is that Beaumont is working with Oakland University to add additional capacity there. They might even use the arena, the basketball arena, and some residence halls for that. So just know that we're working on that. We're concerned about it. But we will do everything we can to make sure that we have enough beds. Beds, of course, is only half of it. We have to have medical personnel that can staff those areas. And I know the governor did an order yesterday increasing the number of people who would be available to do that, and that's going to be important as well. So you touch on a very important point that we are all very concerned about and actively working on.
Thank you. We'll take a question from Donna in Madison Heights. Donna, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You were asking a question for Constance, I believe.
Yes,
go ahead.
Yes, that's correct. I was asking, since it seems to be
I've heard, as you just stated, some kind of assistance to all the other questions, the symptoms of the COVID-19 is cold, fever, dry cough, shortness of breath. That being said, I had mentioned to the person I spoke with before that I'm wondering what other symptoms there are, because we've got the young, healthy gentleman on Channel 4, Acre, as Cassidy stated, he has the virus, and he had nothing but pain, severe, here's the word I quote, his was excruciating pain on his whole body, so much so he couldn't even roll over in bed. And then I have a family member that doesn't live with me, and doesn't live with my mother either, but she had vomiting and diarrhea, and then the person closest to her got it as well, lasted about 3-4 days. I'm just wondering, you know, what are the symptoms for the COVID-19?
So the classic symptoms, as you said, are fever, cough, and I know you're mentioning other things, that what are the other symptoms, and you're identifying some symptoms that we do hear occasionally, but they're not the norm. But I think that this is a time when if you're experiencing something that you haven't experienced before, that you call your physician just to let them know that you're experiencing something that maybe doesn't sound like COVID-19, but let them evaluate that, because there's always variations in every illness. And I too have heard of people that say, well, it started for me with diarrhea, and then it evolved into something else. And then sometimes people say that it never evolved into the classic symptoms of fever, cough, and shortness of breath, and they were tested positive. So, you know, that's not a very satisfactory answer, I know. But these are extraordinary times where we are really monitoring our health closely, and you really need to stay in communication with your physician when you notice something changing, especially for those of us that are, 60 or over or have underlying health conditions. That becomes even more important and essential.
Thank you. We'll take a question from Mary in Southfield.
I'm sorry, are you speaking to Mary?
Yes, Mary.
Mary.
Go ahead.
Okay, hi. I am a home dialysis patient, which means that every month I receive about 30 boxes of medicine delivered to my home. The boxes are too heavy for me to manage, somewhere about 15 pounds each, but I have to get them sorted for my daily dialysis treatment. I have had a young man come in and open these boxes for me because they're too heavy for me. He rides public transportation to get to my home, and I was wondering about the precautions that I need to take when I have someone in my home that's doing a personal service for me, something essential like getting my dialysis equipment ready.
So once again, social distancing is your most important tool, and perhaps you could find a way that he opens the door by himself and brings the packages in, or there's a way you can figure out how to social distance if you let him in and let him go about what he needs to do to unpack that, but just stay away from him. And once he leaves, if you're handling the packages that he has, just keep remembering to wash your hands every time you've handled them, and you should be fine.
Well, let me ask.
Okay, hang on, ma'am. Hang on. Go ahead.
That certain services hold the virus a different amount of time, and that cardboard boxes also can hold the germ. Should these boxes be sprayed? What do you do to make sure that there's nothing quite on the boxes? Now, I talk with the delivery company, and they tell me what the driver does and what happens at the warehouses before the boxes are put for delivery. But once they get in my house, what do I do, if anything?
The only risk to you from those boxes is if you handle them and the virus is on the boxes. Generally speaking, they say that the virus can live on surfaces for up to 72 hours, but as you indicate, every surface may have a different period of time where the virus would be viable. But really, it's not if you're near them, it's if you touch them. And once you've touched them, if you wash your hands, you'll be fine. If they've been there for more than 3 days, the risk is almost nothing.
Take a question from John in Rochester.
Yes, if someone contracts the virus and has had his or her pneumonia shots, including the special shots that are reserved for senior citizens, will these shots mitigate COVID-19's respiratory symptoms?
No, they will not. It's a very good question because the risk of COVID-19 is turning into a pneumonia illness, but those shots will have no impact on it other than we would hope this would protect you from a co-infection. It is possible to have more than one thing, which is why we really encourage people to continue to make sure they've had their flu shots, because we do know of many cases where they have a co-infection of both flu, influenza, and COVID-19. So good that you've got it, but it really won't have an impact on this particular virus.
Well, we have time for just a few more questions, so thank you very much for joining this special town hall for senior citizens throughout Oakland County with County Executive Dave Coulter and Kathy Forsley from our Health Department. So we'll take a few more questions. Everyone will be able to leave a question on a voicemail when the call is over, and anyone that's asked a question that we haven't gotten to will be able to follow up with you. So Francis in Oak Park, go ahead and ask your question.
I wondered. I was in the grocery store, and there was a lady behind me. Now, she had a basket between us, and she coughed without covering her mouth. How long does that virus stay in the air? She may not have had it, but I'm just saying she had.
So good that you are social distancing, utilizing a cart between you. That's very helpful. They do say that it could linger in the air for up to 2 hours, and hopefully more people will practice sneezing and coughing into their sleeve. And that's unfortunate that she didn't, but I think there's a lot of things we're still finding out about COVID-19, but the current idea is that it could linger for 2 hours.
Thank you. We'll take a question from Vincent in Bloomfield Hills. Vincent, are you there?
Yes, I am. I probably know the answer now, but if you take food on a carry-out basis and if the person that is serving the food has the virus, is it easy to catch it on the food?
So actually there is no evidence that it is transported through food. Bear in mind that there are county orders that people that come to work every day in a restaurant are being checked and monitored for signs and symptoms, temperature checks, before they come to work. So the chances of them having coronavirus symptoms that could be transmitted to surfaces and food are low. Also, all of our restaurants operate under the food law. It has been against the food law for years to have someone working ill. I know our restaurant owners are working very, very hard to provide the safest food possible. And actually our sanitarians, which inspect restaurants, are working diligently every day. They're calling all of our restaurants, making sure they're adhering, if they're answering their questions, and they are most appreciative for the support we're giving them. So I think everyone's working very hard to provide very safe products to you.
We'll take a question from Miss House in Oak Park.
From whom?
Oh, sorry, Mr. House. I'm sorry, I couldn't see the person.
That's okay. Anisha House. Good morning, everyone, and I'm truly enjoying this conversation. My question, I have two questions. First of all, how readily is the testing available here in Michigan, and how long does it take for the testing to come back if you are tested for COVID-19? That's my first question. Did you want to answer that one, and I go to the second one?
Sure. Let's do that.
So testing has been challenging, but more and more laboratories are coming online. More and more hospital laboratories are coming online doing testing. But the truth of the matter is it could be several days before you have a result to that test. At this point in time, although some things are opening up with new testing capabilities, types of testing that may come available in the very near future, that could greatly shorten that time period.
Okay. My second question is a personal situation. My daughter works in the healthcare field. As of last Monday, she was no longer working, and she worked in a doctor's office. Okay, and she moved in with her boyfriend last week, not to pre-expose me to her coming in and out, being that she was still seeing patients. As of last Monday, she's no longer working. However, her boyfriend is still working, and she's being pre-exposed by staying with him now. And my question is, can she come back to my home, and how much distance do we need to keep between each other, or should she come back at all?
Thank you. So it's great that she thought about you when she was working at the healthcare, in a healthcare situation where she may have had an exposure. So if she were to move back home with you again, she should wait 14 days after she has been done working in that setting. However, as you mentioned, now her boyfriend has had exposure, but she herself is not at risk unless he becomes ill, just because he may have exposure at work. So it's something for you to weigh out. You know, if that's a risk that you think you want to take by having her move back in with you, I do know that, you know, it's a hard thing to do not to have your family with you. But if she would be coming and going to whatever healthcare settings, and maybe she's someone that might actually volunteer her skills to work when there'll be a call for more medical personnel, or be employed somewhere else, that's something I would think twice about in terms of if there is another location she could live.
So that concludes all of the time that we have. I'm so appreciative that you joined us. This is Dave Coulter again. I want to reemphasize what Hillary said. You can leave a question at the end of this call if we didn't get to it, so you will have that opportunity. You can always call our hotline anytime for any question you have about the virus, and that's 248-858-1000. So please continue to stay at home, continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, everybody.